Senator Hoffman, Senator Miller, and myself, the chairman, Senator Lehman. We're going to do three bills today, and I hope we can deal with the two House bills quickly. They're both by Representative Terrio, and I know that he's on the floor, and Joel, you're here to help us out, walk us through House Bill 387 first, and this dentist's ability to do CPR.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Joe Balash, staff for Representative Terrio. I'll just begin quickly with the sponsor statement. House Bill 387 is intended to give the Board of Dental Examiners the ability to enter into a formal memorandum of agreement with applicants or licensees who are unable to perform cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Currently, the Board enters into MOAs when it determines that an applicant or licensee is physically unable to perform CPR. However, during a legislative audit conducted last year, it was discovered that the Board possesses no statutory authority to enter into such an agreement. This bill seeks to give that authority to the Board of Dental Examiners while preserving the spirit and intent of the statute to protect the patients of dentistry.
Any questions of this witness? I just have one. I think I asked the same question in past. Is any particular reason for the title being as broad as that, other than that's what came back from the drafters and nobody raised the issue?
That is correct.
Okay. It's just that we got into some dentist things last year, and maybe I'm more sensitized to those things right now that we might want to limit it. But on the other hand, if this is a House CS, I'm not sure that I guess we're in control of that here on the Senate side, so as long as we don't do any mischief, you can't to us, right?
I think Mr. Chair, Representative Terrio would appreciate that.
Okay. Without further questions, is there Mark Johnson, do you want to testify?
What? I can if you want.
Why don't you? You can give the administration position, right?
Yeah, okay, well, I'll defer to Department of Commerce on the lead on this. My name is Mark Johnson. I'm chief of the Section of Community Health and Emergency Medical Services in the Department of Health and Social Services. Essentially, we have no problem with this bill. Basically, it says if they can't do CPR, they have somebody there who can, and seems to me that really covers it. And the Department, as I understand, of Commerce is supportive of the bill, and we've looked at it. We don't really see a problem. Be happy to answer any questions.
If questions, Mr. Johnson? No questions.
Thank you.
Easy on you today. Catherine, did you want to testify? Okay. I think you can pick that up. Mr. Reardon says Department supports the bill. Any questions of committee members? Committee discussion? A motion to report. Send all notes. Senator Kelly is here. Senator Kelly, thank you for the motion. Any objection? Hearing none, the motion carries without objection, and the bill, it's on its way probably to the Rules Committee. House Bill 449, Act relating to certain individual retirement accounts. This is the Roth IRAs. Mr. Balash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just again read the sponsor statement. Under the Alaska Exemptions Act, certain retirement plans are protected from creditor claims. However, it does so by listing each type of retirement plan by reference to the Internal Revenue Code section that governs that plan. HB 449 will expand the list to include the newly created Roth IRA. The 1997 Taxpayer Relief Act passed by Congress created the Roth IRA under Internal Revenue Code Section 408A. This new category of IRA has certain benefits to those people who would like to set money aside for retirement purposes, and would just change the end which taxes are incurred from the back end to the front end. They would no longer be a tax-exempt account. The taxes would be paid up front. Contributions and earnings from traditional IRAs, the are able to be rolled over into this new Roth IRA account. However, when the rollover is done, the taxes must be paid as it's changed category. To soften this potential tax bite for huge rollovers, Congress has allowed that all of the taxable earnings, the tax due on those earnings, be paid over a four-year period rather than one. And that could be a potential decision-making category of choice. This is a great opportunity to convert all future IRA account earnings into tax-free income and spread the current tax bite over 4 years. However, those Alaskans who take advantage of this are removing their assets from that previously mentioned list of those protected under state law from creditor claims. This option, again, is available only during 1998. Beginning in 1999, distributions from these IRA accounts that are rolled into Roth IRAs will be fully taxed in the year of the rollover. In order for Alaskans to maintain their protection while taking advantage of this opportunity, legislation must be passed this session.
Questions of this witness?
Senator Kelly?
I would move the bill out of committee with individual recommendations.
If we can hold that just for a second, Mr. Kirkpatrick is here and from the Division of Banking and would like to testify, and I'd like to hear his statement.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
I get real excited when I hear tax breaks and stuff like that.
What about refund?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Willis Kirkpatrick. First, I'd like to second Senator Kelly's motion. There's one thing that I would like to stress that's good about this bill. He touched upon it just briefly. Those people that are currently in an IRA, I believe it's Section 408, have an opportunity to convert to a 408A. They may not know, the investor may not know, without this law, they're converting from an exempt IRA to one that isn't exempt, an exempt IRA. So this bill would correct that. In other words, they would both be exempt. So I do encourage the passage of the bill.
Thank you. And I'll just note that under Mason's rules, which we operate under, you don't need a second.
Oh, but okay.
Happy to have your second anyway. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on House Bill 449? And we have a pending motion. Is there anything that anybody else wants to say before
take the vote?
Is there any objection to Senator Kelly's motion to report House Bill 449? Hearing none, the motion carries. And a 5-0 vote. We'll note that Senator Mackey joined us. And that brings us up to the other lightweight bill that we have today. This is Senate Bill 355 regarding competitive retail sales for electric power. This is a bill that was submitted by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, and I'll just note that in the interest of accommodating other legislators who had expressed some concerns about other regions of the state, it's been crafted to apply only to Anchorage. It's my understanding, and if there's anybody testifying who can understand the density restrictions and conclude that it applies to more than Anchorage, we'll try to tighten the language down. But the idea was to allow retail competition in the Anchorage area. And we have people here willing to testify or who request testifying. If I can have the list, I will call on them in order. We have somebody here from representing Chugach Electric. Don, you here? Would you like to start, Senator Kelly?
Is it your intention to move this bill out?
I would like to. My intention would be that we have about a hearing, maybe lasting about half an hour, and then like to move. I do have a possible amendment to the language that is before us that I would like to hear some comment on that, and if we could, I would like to. But I've asked major parties in this to testify, and we do have some people tied in by teleconference and also the APUC, so. It may take a few minutes longer than that. Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
My name is Don Edwards. I'm with Chugach Electric in Anchorage. I want to thank you and the committee for taking time to take this up. I understand it's a busy time of year for you, and you've got some excitement on your table already. So, as you know, Chugach has been pushing hard this last year for developing the customer's right and implementing the customer's right, which we believe they have under law, to choose electric service providers. And the vehicle that you have before you, SB 355, allows customers to get access immediately over utilities systems which meet the density requirement. And as you pointed out, as a practical matter, that means MLNP and Chugach service territories. Now, it may be that there are a few other areas, and there may be a language that needs to be used to tighten it up, but essentially that's what the bill does as it's written now. The bill is very narrowly drafted to simply trigger off competition. It allows and requires that when a request is made for access over a dense system, that the access be given on a very expedited basis. As I said, we've been working on this over the last year, and we've learned a couple of things I wanted to mention. First is that for customers, this idea of customer choice is really a no-brainer. They understand this not because they understand the electric industry or how competition is developing in the lower 48 or any of that. They know it because they've been through deregulation, they've been through increased competition in a number of industries now, and they understand from personal experience that it's beneficial to them. And I believe you have should have before you copies of a poll that Chugach had done a couple of months ago, and they show overwhelming support on behalf of customers. If you don't have it, I can get it to you. Well over 90% of the customers understand and believe that they'll benefit and believe that they should have the right to choose electric service providers. We've also learned that our other entrenched monopoly utility interests are not particularly excited about the idea of customer choice and competition, and we can understand why that might be. But the arguments that they raise against it are not that they oppose competition. I think they understand that that's a non-starter, and they understand that it's a non-starter to oppose it on the grounds that customers shouldn't choose. Instead, they raise issues like that it's very complicated. I'm here to tell you that it's not particularly complicated. In our situation, we have a couple of customers in MLNP service territory. Those customers want to buy power from Chugach. The way it works is this. We pay MLNP a price for access across their system, a price that's established by the commission as an access rate. For the larger customers, you install equipment which allows our generators to automatically follow their load and generate for their load. For the smaller customers, we have plenty of load research data to be able to estimate what their load looks like at any given point in the day, and you simply schedule your generators to meet that load. At the end of the month, if there's any inadvertent slop one way or the other, you simply true it up. We true it up routinely, have for the last 10 or 15 years with MLNP, because we have an interconnected system. There's always some difference one way or the other, so that's routine. That's all there is to it. It's not complicated. So, what do we need from the legislature? Not very much. As you've seen in what you have before you, it's very short. It's very simple. And what we've proposed will affect initially and for the foreseeable future only MLNP and Chugach. And the reason for the legislature's involvement is simply to nudge the process. It simply is the legislature exercising its policy setting function and moving forward. Now, the reason why not much is needed to the legislature is that the legislature has never set a policy against competition, and that's important. There isn't a need for major changes to statutes because the legislature has never prohibited competition. Wanted to tell you very briefly a couple of the things that we've done that have happened over the last year and how we came to the position we are asking the legislature for this provision. Last June, MLNP requested an expansion of its service territory. We asked the commission, in the process of evaluating that case, if they would pronounce whether or not service territories are exclusive. We've read the Supreme Court cases that say very, very clearly they are not exclusive. We simply asked the commission to affirm that an expansion of the MLNP service territory was not a step against competition and would still allow customers to choose. The commission declined to answer that question in that docket. Over the summer, we went out and sought customers who were interested in purchasing from Chugach, which we believe they have a right to do, and we presented those customers to MLNP and asked for access. MLNP has refused access and brought an action in front of the commission asking that we be prevented from competing. And that case is now ripe and has been argued as of January 20th, and we do not yet have a decision. So the reason why it's important to note that the state law has not prohibited competition is covered more in more detail in the testimony of Mike Dotton, whose testimony you should also have. If you don't, I can get it for you. And he explains it in greater detail. But in a nutshell, what the federal law says is that competition is the rule. And the only way you can get past that rule is if the state establishes a policy against competition. And that the courts have been very, very strict about that and have said you're only successful in establishing a policy against competition if it's very, very clearly articulated and affirmatively expressed. So that's why we believe that very little change is needed in legislation, and why we believe that customers have a current enforceable right to choose today. The third thing I wanted to touch on is a Brookings Institute study, and I brought copies of the executive summary of those studies, and with the chair's permission, I'd like to hand them out.
Please do.
I want to mention five of the points that study reaches, and you can see them in the executive summary. If anyone wants the complete version, I can get you the complete version. First point the study makes is that all customers benefit. They looked at four or five industries. You can see on the second page there, after the cover sheet, the different industries they looked at. They did a study of those industries, and what they concluded was that not just the large customers, but all customers benefited in those industries which had gone from monopoly to greater competition, and that the benefits increase over time. The second point that they make is that under competition, service and reliability improve. And they cite that as a reason for moving sooner rather than later to implement and allow competition. The third point they make is that the more choice you allow, the more savings result. So the greater the freedom to compete, the more the benefits inure to customers. The fourth item that I found of interest is that the best way for all customers to benefit from competition is to make sure that all customers have the right to choose. This is the answer to the cream skimming or the cherry picking argument that you hear so often. The key is that if all customers, even the smallest customers, have a right to choose and are allowed to choose, then costs cannot be jammed through to those small customers, because if you do, they'll walk. They'll go to their competitor as well. So this was something that the Brookings Institute noted as well. And finally, they note that it's difficult, impossible, to predict either the likely resulting market structure after competition begins, or even what the optimum market structure should be. And they conclude from that you shouldn't try, that you should just allow competition to work under some basic rules and let it develop its own structure. Now, the final item I wanted to mention today is that the PUC, in our view, already has all the authority it needs to oversee and decide on access charges and any other issues that might arise. The important thing is that we get started. Only if we get started in Anchorage can we develop a kind of track record so that if additional legislation or regulatory changes might be required, we're doing it on the basis of actual experience rather than on the basis of conjecture or fears. So we urge you to give careful consideration of this proposal, and we want you to know that we're committed at Chugach to seeing this through. I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. I have a couple things. One is in a Finance Committee subcommittee meeting, the APUC chairman, Sam Cotton, did confirm my memory of it. It was confirmed what you just said about his belief that APUC currently has the authority, but he also expressed reticence to move too quickly into it because of a number of issues they're wrestling with. But as he stated, and I know that Commissioner Posey is online and he may want to speak for the commission, but their concern is that they address some issues along the way, but I think he recognizes and the commission recognizes that it's coming, just a matter of time. The second thing is, if competition is good, then should it be restricted to certificated utilities or those that are certificated now, or should it be available to those power marketers, resellers, and aggregators as well as electric utilities? I mean, should this be just a competition between, in this case, Chugach and MLNP, or what about others like, you know better than I do who they are that may want to come into that? I mean, for the demonstration, does that also make sense?
First of all, I want to say that I do. There are lots of areas of agreement between us and what we've heard from the commission. We believe they do have ample authority. There are some areas of disagreement we probably don't need to get into right now, or potential disagreement, but there is a great deal of agreement. With respect to whether certificated or non-certificated power marketers, as you can see, this has been written to address certificated utilities because presumably those utilities have been through already whatever screening or quality assurance or consumer protection assurance is needed in order to protect the public. And so we felt that the path of least resistance here was to allow certificated utilities who've already been through that process to be authorized to compete. We are in favor of competition, so as a matter of general philosophy, we have no problem, and in fact, we fully expect that there will be power marketers with whom we are competing, and MLNP and others are competing. We know that there's at least one power marketer active in Anchorage right now. So it's not that we're opposed to them, it's just that when those issues are raised, people raise other issues such as consumer protection. How do we know that these power marketers are okay to turn loose on the public, for example? How do we reconcile the fact that a power marketer can set a price, you know, this morning at whatever level they need to in order to compete, whereas a certificated utility would have to go through a commission process in order to get a rate that we were allowed to sell to the public? We decided that the best way was to simply avoid those issues, just purely for streamlining. But I want to stress that we're not trying to avoid having those competitors. If those competitors want to be in the party, we understand that, and we agree that they will be there. We were just trying to avoid further delays with going through a process to decide how you resolve some of those issues that are raised when you bring them into the mix. And we thought we might get started, and in the regulations docket that is already opened, that may be, in front of the commission, that may be a place where you can sort out some of these issues. Meanwhile, beginning the process and getting some actual experience.
I'd like you to get a copy of at least a potential amendment that we've had and distributed. You have it, and
I haven't read it yet, but
yeah. Why don't you just hold it, and we'll take other testimony, and when you've had a chance to think about it later in this hearing, if you'd like to offer comment on the amendment,
great.
Feel free to do so. I'm not asking you to comment on something you haven't had a chance to look at. Questions of Mr. Edwards, Senator Kelly, did you have a question?
Yeah, who owns Chugach Electric?
Through the chair, Senator Kelly, It's a private corporation owned by its members, which are also its consumers and past consumers.
Who owns MLMP?
Municipality of Anchorage.
Are we hearing from the municipality?
We've invited them, and I hope so. I don't have word that they are at the LIO, but I believe that they are. Or is it Mira? Okay. I certainly hope so. I know they have visited me in the past few days in my office, and were aware of the meeting. Further questions, Mr. Edwards?
Right. MLMP is here.
Okay, we'll be with you in just a few seconds. No further questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for being with us. Go ahead and proceed with your testimony and identify yourself, please.
When somebody would speak out.
Mm-hmm. This is Mira Kohler. I'm the general manager of Municipal Light and Power for the Municipality of Anchorage. I thank you for the opportunity to comment on Senate Bill 355 at this time. While not wishing to appear combative, I would like to point out that this bill is another example of Chugach Electric Association's determination to bypass the legislative and regulatory processes in order to fast-track retail electric competition in Anchorage. The question must be asked as to why it is so imperative to immediately implement competition in Anchorage. Is it because Chugach knows that they are ready with a set of rules that no one else is? Do they know that if we wait and see what happens in the lower 48, where the market may actually be large enough and with enough providers to sustain competition, that we may see that competition cannot work in Alaska's minuscule market? Honorable committee members, it must be noted that Chugach is the operator of most of the transmission systems that interconnects the six utilities serving Railroad Alaska. Over 55% of their energy sales are wholesale or economy energy. Chugach already has what is called market power in the market that they would ostensibly like to compete in. The prerequisite to retail competition, wholesale competition, does not yet exist in Alaska. If you examine the Chugach and MLMP retail rates, you will see that our rates are almost identical. In other words, the competitive forces are already at work to keep our rates on par. In fact, the competitive nature of all of the interconnected utilities can be easily seen by looking at Fairbanks retail rates, or Matanuska's, or Homer's, or even Juno's. Chugach believes that competing with MLMP will result in them gaining load at our expense. Under their theory, as our sales base shrinks, our cost per kilowatt hour will rise, leading to a spiraling loss of customers. At its logical conclusion, Chugach will emerge the survivor, and pure monopoly will be once again reestablished. Chugach lacks the benevolent omnipotence to write the rules and to set the monetary parameters that govern a competitive electric market. This issue is of significant importance to every resident of the state of Alaska. It has taken years for the huge interconnected markets of the lower 48 to tentatively experiment with competition, and not a single state has yet proven that it can work. 90% of power in the lower 48 is generated by investor-owned utilities. 100% of Anchorage's power comes from assets that are already owned by the people, either from cooperatives or municipal projects. The lower 48 has shareholder profits to take away from. We only have our own pocketbook. I urge this committee to allow the legislature to fully examine the issues of retail electric competition and to come forth with a decision on whether and how to implement it. Anchorage is not a suitable pilot project for such an undertaking, not with half the state's population and 60% of its generation resources as guinea pigs. A do not pass decision is recommended. Thank you.
We have questions of Ms. Kohler. Senator Kelly?
I'm just wondering, Ms. Kohler, what would you be saying if you did want to be competitive?
What we're saying is that the legislature and the Public Utilities Commission are at an arm's length and need to examine the issues that will be involved with deregulation and competition, and then they can set the rules and tell us how we are to compete.
Further questions?
Thank you for being with us. If you'd like to, Senator Mackey?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have been. My understanding of this legislation to the lady at MLMP was that this would just simply ask the commission to make an expedited decision as to whether or not they were going to allow that, rather than have to drag it out. Is that not accurate? Is that how you understand the bill to read?
My understanding of what the bill reads is that if any one utility requests the opportunity to serve in another utility's territory, then the APUC has 10 days within which to return a decision on whether that competition is to be allowed. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, then is your problem with the actual amount of time that the commission is given to respond? Because I don't read the, first of all, I don't have a dog in the fight. This is Senator Mackey. And I know it deals with Anchorage, but doesn't this just allow for, ask the commission to make an expedited decision? I mean, still the basis of whether or not to allow for the competition and some of the details and some of the economic stuff and everything else that needs to be looked at, which you're probably looking at already, that would still have to go through that normal process. This bill wouldn't automatically allow somebody to compete.
Senator Mackey, through the chair, the APUC already has the power, as Shugash has stated and as the PUC chairman has stated, they already have the power to rule on whether or not competition in a particular service area is in the best interest of the public. So all that this bill is doing is essentially expediting that to a very, very small time frame within which a public necessity finding couldn't possibly be conducted.
Okay, do you have a... I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't misreading the bill, so I think we agree on what the bill actually does. If 10 days is too fast, do you have a particular time frame that you think would be more reasonable?
I feel that once the PUC and the legislature has determined whether or not competition is a desirable thing in certificated public utilities territories, that beyond that phase, it ought to be permitted within a fairly short period of time, but not to bypass the initial process.
Well, I mean, hasn't the legislature already determined that the APUC does have that ability to allow for that to happen, should they choose, based on their findings?
Yes, it has. That is part of the Public Utility Commission's statutes, that they may find that it is in the public interest to allow competition. There really is no good reason for this bill other than that Shugach would like to shorten up that determinatory period.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions? Thanks so much, Mara, for being with us.
Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to be here.
You are welcome. In Anchorage, Mary Ann Pease?
Yes. Should I go ahead?
Yes, please.
Yes, my name is Mary Ann Pease, and I am the Vice President of Aurora Power. We are the largest independent natural gas marketer in the state, supplying close to 80% of the large commercial markets here in Anchorage for natural gas. Prior to joining Aurora Power, I was the finance director for Anchorage Municipal Light and Power. I had an in-depth understanding of the issues facing the electric industry and the structure of current electric rates in Alaska. I'd like to thank you all for allowing me this opportunity to address Senate Bill 355. The intent of Senate Bill 355 is a definite step in the right direction, in as much as it provides for the opening up of the distribution and transmission systems in the Anchorage area. Where this bill falls very short is in the restrictive language that limits competition to the existing generating providers in the Anchorage area, MLMP and Shugach Electric. The entire spirit and core of competition is to enable various entities the right to compete to provide service at lower rates than currently available. There are several entities that could participate in bringing reduced electric rates to consumers here in Anchorage. That power could indeed come from existing generators, but new and efficient power providers that may have excess energy to pump into the grid, or even efficient green power from recycled commercial products needs to be studied as well. The pilot program that Aurora Power will be proposing for the Public Utilities Commission enables a study approach to competition on a limited basis. The pilot program cannot be approved unless power providers have access to the distribution and transmission system in the Anchorage area. The language in Senate Bill 355, 5 maintains the authority of the Public Utilities Commission in approving proposals brought forth under restructuring of the electric industry, something that we are very much in favor of. Just as Aurora Power has reduced the cost of natural gas to most of the large commercial market, the opportunity to provide reduced cost electricity is timely and needs to happen now rather than 2 or 3 years from today. There are cost savings to be achieved in the electric industry, and consumers need to have access to lower-priced alternatives today. We envision that the pilot program that we bring before the Public Utilities Commission will give us an opportunity to study the effects of restructuring on a very limited basis. But in order for that to happen, we need to have access to the transmission and distribution system. I would highly recommend that you folks do something to approve Senate Bill 355, but with some minor changes that would allow resellers, aggregators, and power marketers to have access to that power as well as the two existing generating utilities. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Pease. In earlier testimony, Mr. Edwards talked about, he expressed support for competition, but said didn't want to get into, at least in this expedite process, the challenge of identifying who among the resellers and aggregators and marketers are all competent to present themselves to the public. What is the process you go through to do that? What do you have to prove to the to the public and maybe or to the APUC to allow you to compete in the Alaska marketplace?
Well, what we have done for natural gas is we have a tariff that we have filed in conjunction with NSTAR that enables us to provide natural gas to any of the large commercial users here in the city. We would envision a similar approach for electricity. We would have a generation agreement with whoever the generation would come from, and we would have an agreement to use the distribution and transmission lines of whatever entities we would be going across. We would not exclude the APUC from this process at all and realize that their authority over it is critical to the success of restructuring.
Okay. I have a potential amendment that I believe has been faxed to the Anchorage LAO. Have you had a chance to look at it?
No, we haven't.
Okay. Well, if you'd get somebody there to make copies of it and...
I have it in front of me now, Senator Lehman.
Okay, well, there's two main changes from the original legislation. One is the picking up the power marketers, resellers, and aggregators. The other is changing the 10 days to 30 days. And, without asking you to, I'm not putting you on the spot right now if you'd like a few more minutes to think about it, but if you want to respond to it right now, please proceed.
Yes, thank you very much, Senator Lehman. I think that the revision in giving the commission 30 days after receiving the request is much more reasonable than the limited time period of 10 days. I think 30 days makes it at least a workable situation for the Public Utilities Commission. I cannot imagine only having 10 days to respond to something of this magnitude. So I think this is a very favorable change. And I see that the language here includes the establishment of a pilot program, which gives a working study rather than just full outright competition. We would be very much in favor of these amendments, and they make a great deal of sense to me.
Let me ask you just one more question, just to bounce this one off you. I guess in my thinking on this, if we were to do a pilot, and I know that Ms. Kohler has testified about using the whole Anchorage bowl as, I think she said, the guinea pig, but if we were to, or if not we, the commission or a proposer were to identify a portion of the service areas within Anchorage where there's overlap of MLNP and Chugach Electric, but perhaps it doesn't include the entire municipality, but it may include major commercial and residential users, and use that as the pilot area, is that a concept that you could support and would be interested in participating in?
Oh, yes, we would obviously support that pilot program of maybe 10% of that, 35 megawatts. That would be a workable amount that could be studied by the Public Utilities Commission. It wouldn't be a guinea pig type project. What it would be is a very limited research study-based approach to how restructuring would impact Anchorage. Anchorage is the logical place. It's where our generating supplies are located, and it's where the bulk of the population resides. This should be the study area for it. We are different from the lower 48, and how it impacts Alaska should be studied on a limited term basis.
Okay, thank you so much, Mary Ann, for being with us. I'm going to ask, I think they're noted down here to answer questions, Bob Lohr or Commissioner James, Jim Posey from the Public Utilities Commission. Do either of you gentlemen want to add anything to our discussion?
Honorable Lehman, members of the committee, Jim Posey, APUC. We currently have two dockets open, one in our docket to deal with competition in Alaska, specifically in the equity market. And we also have before us the MLNC complaint that is also under consideration. So without going into either one of those, I guess I can say, like the chairman indicated, that we have the power to do what's necessary within a limited vein of looking at competition as one would consider it in the state. But if you look at competition in the lower 48, even California, after 2 years of planning, had to delay it several months, and people are still confused as to what it really means and what it really means to them. So consumer education is a big part of what California decided to do in order to prevent from confusing the customers. And we feel, I think, as a commission, that as we look at competition, different format for Alaska, especially Anchorage, given the makeup of the potential competitors, that we may need some legislative help to sort out some of the answers. And we would, like a number of the other states, including Montana, Nevada, and others, would like to work in a partnership with the legislature if we run into problems dealing with the issue, given the current dockets that we have. We'd like to think that we would not need the help of the legislature, but given the tremendous investment that the two parties here in Anchorage have in generating and transmission, to not move too quickly on this issue is probably the prudent way to operate, and we would stand by to help, actually ask for help only if necessary to deal with any issues that we may uncover in this process.
Thank you, Mr. Posey, for being with us today, for your testimony. Eric Yule?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, committee members, this is Eric Yule. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Rural Electric Cooperative Association. I'll try and keep my remarks short. First of all, I apologize. I am late to this committee hearing. I had the option of either going to a dentist or being late for this committee hearing, very difficult and painful subject for me, I can assure you. At any rate, I very much appreciate the opportunity to speak before your commission. Mr. Chairman, as a general rule, the electric utility industry in the state of Alaska, certainly with the exception of Chugach Electric, is opposed to this particular piece of legislation, Senate Bill 355. That's not to say that ultimately the utility industry does not see the benefits of restructuring. We certainly realize that it's an issue that is being considered nationwide as well as in the state of Alaska. But in fact, it has been considered nationwide for a number of years, and still Congress has not passed a piece of legislation because it is a very complex issue. As a matter of fact, Senator Murkowski is chairman of the Senate Energy Committee and will be a key player in the issue of restructuring nationwide. And this past summer, he spoke before the electric utility industry at our annual conference in Cordova, and he advised us that it's still at least a year or two away before we see national legislation. Be that as it may, he encouraged the electric utility industry to try and come to some consensus on what restructuring should look like in the state of Alaska. And he said that, realizing that we have very limited interconnected system, we only have three substantive utility providers, even in the area of that utility interconnection system, that is the rail belt. And then when you get to rural Alaska, where you've got roughly 150 utilities scattered throughout the state, whom are not even interconnected themselves, and by the way, that total number of utilities is more than you have in the entire Pacific Northwest, it is a very complex situation that we find ourselves in the state of Alaska. Couple those with the fact that in the state of Alaska, we're basically a utility industry that is consumer-owned. That is, 90% of the electricity generated by utilities comes from either a cooperative or a municipal entity such as this era Kohler represents. And it means that only 10%, or in fact really only 9% of the generation comes from investor-owned utilities, as opposed to the lower 48, where roughly 75% comes from investor-owned utilities, and hence their desire for competition. The senator did strongly urge us to consider what deregulation should look like for the state of Alaska. And as a matter of fact, as has probably been mentioned here before, a number of other states have looked at it. And as a matter of fact, to date, 10 states have passed some comprehensive form of deregulation. 23 states have taken the position of substantive investigations through their own committee process, that is, they're studying it, some of them for as long as 4 years. 9 states, as I understand, have requested that their utility commissions address the issue and come up with their own recommendations to the legislature. And then the remaining states, I'm thinking some in the area of 10, have essentially taken no action whatsoever. So all I'm trying to convey to you is that it is a very difficult situation, and one which I think is going to take some deliberate consideration by the legislature. As Mr. Posey mentioned to you, it does appear as though APUC has a certain authority to allow retail wheeling, if you want to call it that. However, because of the potential impacts, nobody has really looked at the bounds that should be put on it or the criteria that should be established. For instance, if Chugach and MLNP were allowed to compete with unconstrained retail wheeling, one might think that it only affects those two utilities. However, those utilities also provide wholesale power to other utilities in the Rail Belt area. And if one of those utilities becomes substantively weakened because of the loss of customers, and hence their utility rates go up, it's not going to just affect the customers in that service territory, but very possibly the customers in, let's say, Homer, MEA, and perhaps even Golden Valley Electric to the north, who also takes wholesale power from the Anchorage area. So it's not just an issue that affects the two utilities that are being considered here. Mr. Chairman, the utility industry has very seriously considered how it would recommend pursuing deregulation for the state of Alaska. As a matter of fact, virtually all of the utilities in my trade association, and I represent virtually all of the utilities in the state of Alaska, all the way from the big guys like Chugach Electric down to Leebelock and AVEC, attended a policy meeting this last fall, sponsored by Eureka, and on November 6th considered some 11 different options that we would recommend pursuing that would help facilitate the question of deregulation for the state of Alaska. And those options went all the way from no action to no deregulation to totally open up the borders. But ultimately, the position that was adopted was as follows, and I'll read it, and it's relatively short, so I won't take up too much of your time. This was adopted by a vote of 18-1. The dissenting vote was Chugach Electric, and it reads as follows. Introduce legislation which reaffirms exclusive service areas for electric utilities for the immediate future, but also contains legislative resolutions forming a blue ribbon committee composed of legislative and electric utility representatives, which would be directed to investigate whether, and if so, under what circumstances, wholesale and retail competition is in the best interest of consumers in the state of Alaska, and to report back its findings and to draft legislation for introduction to the legislature by the year 2000. Mr. Chairman, as a result of that resolution, ARECA approached the legislature, and both the leadership in the House and the Senate indicated to ARECA that they would support a resolution that would set up this special committee. And as a matter of fact, that resolution is HCR-34. It establishes actually a very short time frame for conducting the study. It would require the legislature to report back its findings, or this special committee to report back its findings, by January 1999. And so what we're suggesting, Mr. Chairman and committee members, is there's already a vehicle in place so that the legislature can become very familiar with this issue and try and come up with a piece of legislation that will help us all establish a retail wheeling or a deregulation environment that will suit the very unique situation that we have here in the state of Alaska. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Who's this?
Thank you, Mr. Yule. This is Eric Yule from ARECA. No questions of you today? And Senator Kelly, you have a question?
Wait. Did you say wait and hear from the task force or what?
Yeah, he was proposing going. Mr. Yule, did you hear the question from Senator Kelly?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I did
he
not.
Asked you, he asked you if, he just, Senator Kelly just stepped out for a moment and came back as you were completing your testimony. He asked if what you were saying is wait and listen for the recommendations from the task force.
Essentially, it would wait for the recommendations of the task force, to which I think the utility industry and APUC would be a strong roll up your sleeves participant. And not only that, Mr. Chairman, but as Mr. Posey mentioned to the group here, they also have a docket open on this very same issue, and I suspect that in some respects they would probably roll their investigations into this committee process as well.
Thank you, Mr. Yule. And we will go to Glenn Allen for Robert Wilkinson at Copper Valley Electric, and then standing by in Homer, Norm Story. First, Mr. Wilkinson.
Yes, thank you very much, Senator Lehman, and members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to participate. My name is Robert Wilkinson. I'm the general manager of the Copper Valley Electric Association, serving Valdez in the Copper Basin. Some listeners on this teleconference may believe that as an isolated rural utility, we don't have standing in this discussion. I can only tell you that I wish I had a customer density of 30 customers a mile. That'd be a nice place to be. Copper Valley Electric Association is not opposed to competition, and in fact, it is the basis of our strategic plan, which we got rolling a couple of years ago. We are actively planning for competition. It enters into the decision-making process in everything we do. But we feel very strongly that in contemplating passing new legislation, that it needs to be viewed very carefully and it must be done right. Many of you, I'm sure, have heard several times that utility representatives will tell you that Alaska is unique, and I think that's probably a hard thing to argue with. We believe Alaska is unique in the form of how competition may look or might look in the future as well. We applaud the efforts of the legislative leadership in developing House Concurrent Resolution Number 34. To carefully study and very deliberately evaluate concerns not only on behalf of members and ratepayers, but also utility representatives, to carefully structure competition as we go forward. we see no reason to rush through with Senate Bill 355. We would respectfully request that the issues that have been raised, not only by Chugach, but Marianne Pease and Aurora Energy, and also the electric utility representatives, would better be addressed in the broader framework working through House Concurrent Resolution Number 34. Thank you very much for allowing me the time to speak today.
Thank you, Mr. Wilkinson. Mr. Story and Homer.
Thank you, Senator Lehman. I am Norman Story, manager of Homer Electric Association, 3977 Lake Street, Homer. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today regarding Senate Bill 355. Homer Electric serves the central and south central section of the Kenai Peninsula, and we provide electric service to approximately 22,000 consumers. All of those consumers, 14% of them, are commercial and large industrial operations, which make up approximately 56% of our annual revenue. To put into place any act to allow competition without first considering its long-term effect, not only in Anchorage, and happens to be effect possibly on our wholesale power supplier, Chugach Electric, but also on the outlying utilities that are interconnected, would likely jeopardize the serving utilities' large consumer revenues by allowing the large loads to be lost to the utility. That leaves increased costs for the remaining consumers, of which it's easy to then determine that there's going to be increased costs in rates to serve those existing consumers or remaining consumers. I would appreciate the committee to consider allowing this study group to be formed through the legislature this year and study the effects and how competition can be employed in the state and not support passage of Senate Bill 355. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd ask you to answer any questions that might be for me.
Thank you, Mr. Story. We don't have any questions for you this time, but encourage you to stay involved in the issue.
Thank you.
Last person we have, is there anybody else in that came in the Anchorage LAO who I haven't called on who wishes to testify?
No.
Okay. And the outlying sites, anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody hanging. Here in Juneau, Teresa Obermeyer.
Yes, and thank you, Senator.
Did you want to come up to the
mic? Good afternoon, gentlemen. I would, of course, like to say good afternoon to Mr. Edwards, and I would like to really refer us at all times to the Alaska Directory of Attorneys. When we talk about competition,
Ms. Obermeyer, if you'd like to testify on the bill we have before us today, I'd ask you to confine your remarks to the legislation, and if you can do so.
Yes, but Lauren, can I talk?
Come within the next 3 minutes.
Well, let me just mention, I live here. And you see, you called on me after I waited for over an hour. And believe me, sir, I really mean it. I don't think I should speak today. But why would you adjourn when I simply came over to sit down?
I'm not making a cent.
Look at all these people. They're all highly paid. I came here, I'm a person that you keep referring to, the public. And the public doesn't exist because people like me who came here with good intentions, you adjourned the meeting when I got up to speak after you called on me. You truly don't make any sense. So why don't we talk individually, and then if you'll allow me, I'll come on Thursday.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
I stayed here to listen to your testimony.
Thank you.
Just let me finish. How about if you talk about the bill itself, I'll stay here and listen to your testimony. I'm interested in your testimony. Why don't we do that? And then we can move on to the rest of the agenda, okay?
You know, may I say, I'm not that great on this particular bill. But I let me just see, I have only this sheet of paper that shows people that might want to testify. I don't have all the details. But I know that competition begins with lawyers and a bar association that is anti-competitive. And I've just handed to you a document that we mailed to the 60-member legislature in 1995. Now, I don't believe, you were in the House then, am I correct?
That's right.
Yeah, so, but I don't know today if you ever saw that or read it. So why don't we simply wait until Thursday, and if it's appropriate, I'll come. But I do believe if you're taking public comment, that at a minimum, You would wait until a person sits down and makes a few statements before you adjourn the meeting. It's very apparent that my neighbor here in Anchorage, that I see constantly, I know his three children and his wife quite well. He adjourned the meeting when he called on me. I don't understand, Lauren.
Okay. Does that complete your testimony?
Yeah, because there's no testimony when you're so prejudiced. And you, of all people, Lauren, to be prejudiced. Okay. I thought you were smarter than this.
Yeah, I did too.
So you have to have some kind of a rude reaction?
We have not adjourned the meeting. We have not adjourned the meeting. I called and at ease so I can discuss with you the proper format in this committee for providing testimony on this legislation. And that is it. We do take public testimony. The other testimony that was before you was testimony that people who had expressed interest ahead of time, and they have asked to testify, and that's why they were asked to testify. We're not trying to bar anybody else from testifying. If you have any particular testimony regarding Chugach or MLNP or any other utility in Alaska, you're welcome to provide that in this committee as
well,
the proper forum.
I mean, I don't know whether we should or not anymore. For example, let's talk about Chugach Electric. Should I come over here?
No, you
and
have...
talk about the fact that I have very firm grounding in administrative law, and Mr. Edwards and Ms. Carol Johnson, both in the Alaska Directory of Attorneys, have the exact same job title. This doesn't even make sense. Things like we have an attorney general's office that has 416 attorneys. It's right in this directory, in the back, the number. That, I mean, there's no competition because it's not allowed. There's no free flow of information. When I had seen notices in the Chugach Eagle River Star for many years about the Chugach Electric meetings, I simply thought I was allowed to go. And I actually was written a letter that I am denied access to their property. But may I also bring up, in terms of a court, that one real light at the end of the tunnel is, if you will recall, I don't know whether you followed all this, I don't know whether you remember Nan Thompson, that she was put on the APUC as she is an attorney when Tony Knowles was elected, and Tim Cook, who had been appointed by Governor Hickel, and he then was seated and then kicked off when Tony Knowles came into office. He sued over his seat on the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. That was one of the, to me, the best cases that I've seen in a decade out of our courts. He was reinstated and put back on the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. And you see, the court's interest was to say that we need electricity, and electricity should really not be partisan politics. I commend the Alaska Supreme Court for that ruling, and I have referred to that many times to Tim Cook. In fact, I go to some of the APUC meetings. But, you know, that was all I wanted to say, since I think we totally miscommunicated, Lauren. So why don't I talk to you separately, and if it's appropriate, I come on Thursday. Whatever. I'm pretty thick-skinned after the things that have gone on. Have you noticed? Thank you, sir. Have a nice meeting.
Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you. And I'll also note that the record is very clear that I had some comments in joint session on that particular appointment or the other appointments, and I could have saved everybody a lot of time and money had they followed the advice that I offered. But the Supreme Court ultimately concluded what I predicted they would. That completes the public testimony today on Senate Bill 355, and we have lost our quorum. We'll just stand at ease just for a second.
I've got to go to
in order. We have an amendment that is a proposed amendment, at least right now, that does address some of the issues about other power marketers, resellers, and aggregators, and it's been out. Other people have had a chance to look at it. Mr. Edwards, you said you'd have a chance to look at it. Did you want to offer real brief comments on it?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very briefly, basically, we think it's a good idea and heading in the right direction, but we do have one small but I think very significant
suggested change to just delete the words before full retail competition. And the reason for that is that it gets back to what I was explaining earlier. Under our view of the law, the legislature has never acted to prohibit competition. Those words could arguably be construed as doing that, and so we don't want to get into that box.
I think that's a good good piece of advice. It certainly wasn't my intent to do that. Could we have a motion to delete the four words that suggested by Mr. Edwards? Senator Mackey?
Also, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I guess before we do that, we should have a motion. We should have a motion to have an amendment before us. So why don't we just correct the amendment to call it Amendment Number 1 with deleting the words before full retail competition. That'll be Amendment Number 1. Is there a
Mackey,
Chairman,
move that? Amendment as stated.
Is there any objection to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
Mr. Chairman,
I would move the word for in place of those four words, so it would read to facilitate the establishment of pilot programs for electric utilities power marketers.
Actually, it would be better, I think, without the word for. Just to facilitate the establishment.
Programs, electric utilities, doesn't flow.
Of pilot programs, comma, electric utilities, power marketers, resellers, and aggregators may request the commission. We don't need the word for.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion of the bill as amended? Hearing not, we have a motion to report the bill as amended. Any objection? Hearing none, the motion carries, and Senate Bill 355 as amended is on its way.
What do you want to do with this anyway?
We have, I think we can deal with this next one quickly. I'm sorry, I said earlier three bills, and I see that we have four, and Catherine, you stayed on. It's Senate Bill 335 regarding barbers, hairdressers, manicurists, and cosmetologists. We do have an amendment, I believe, proposed by Senator Kelly, at least to address a concern, and Senator, I don't know if Senator Kelly, you were going to speak to it, or Catherine Reardon, with the amendments.
For the record, my name is Catherine Reardon, Director of the Division of Occupational Licensing in the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. If I understood correctly, Mr. Chair, you wanted me to speak to the amendment involving instructor licenses. Is that correct? Thank you. This amendment, which was prepared by your office, Mr. Chair, is to address a concern that I believe came up about a month or so ago in Anchorage from an instructor who was questioning why they needed an instructor license as well as a hairdresser license and had to pay two fees then in order to do both of those activities. This amendment would take care of that by saying that if you have an instructor license to teach a specific occupation, that also gives you the power to perform the occupation. And I don't have any problem with the amendment. It seems like the easiest way to achieve what I believe Senator Kelly might have been hoping to achieve. I actually hadn't thought of this method of doing it, and your staff came up with it, and I think it was a clever way of achieving that, and it seems to work to me.
Chairman, I'd move the amendment, Lauterbach E.1.
Is there any objection to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment is adopted. We have before us CS for Senate Bill 335, Labor and Commerce. Is there anybody wish to testify? Robert, did you have any testimony?
I have one question about the grandmother clause.
Okay.
I'm not sure how
strong. Did you want to address that to Catherine or to Robert?
Catherine, do you know anything about that?
Mr. Chair, are you speaking about the transition language?
Normally when we grandfather somebody in that's been practicing in the business, they get a license forever. According to the way this is written, they only get grandmothered, and I use that word because they're mostly females, for 6 months. And then do they have to go back to school and go through the whole apprentice program again? Why are we doing it that way?
Through the chair, my understanding of the bill, of the transition sections, is that it is correct that everyone has to go through the education and pass the exam in order to practice manicuring, whether they have been doing it for 10 years or whether they're brand new coming in. Similarly, people who want to teach it are going to have to meet the instructor qualifications for teaching manicuring. Just to make sure that you understand, this is not, the idea of licensing manicurists is not one that I am supportive of, and so the regimen here is something that is coming from the legislature. I do think that there, I have a suggestion for, from my perspective, improving the situation. If this is the way the legislature wants to go and license the manicurists, I would suggest that since the course is probably going to cost around $3,000, it's probably going to take about 350 hours, which is, you know, two to three months of time to do, that having talked with your staff, Mr. Chair, briefly before this meeting, my suggestion would be to make the effective date of the bill September 1 of 99, and then...
Can you hold on a second, Mr. Chairman? I would move that amendment. Add a section to have an effective date of September 1, 99.
With that, we have some time problems right now. We'd like to.
I've got to be in a subcommittee, and I either.
Is that your only other?
It would also be an oral amendment to also give us the authority to have an immediate effective date to adopt regulations, so that immediately you could adopt the regulations. Then the regulations and the effective date of the actual requirement for licensure is September 1 of 99. So everybody will have a big lead up to know what they're going to have to do, what courses they're going to have to offer if they're schools. I believe that fits.
I would move all of that.
Okay, remove that. Is there, Robert, before we do that in mass, en banc, I guess, do you have any comment on that?
I think Ms. Reed very effectively presented some of the points I was going to make also.
And do you have any objections to us reporting the bill as amended?
No.
Okay, we have an amendment before us to incorporate the effective date and the regulation clauses by... that Ms. Reardon suggested by Senator Kelly. No objections. That amendment passes. That's amendment number two. We have the bill as amended before the committee. Senator Kelly.
Just one question to Catherine. Are you going to recommend that the governor veto the bill as it's currently written?
Through the chair, I don't think that I should ever make a comment involving vetoes without having discussed it with the governor's office, so I guess I'm just not prepared to answer that question at this time.
Support the bill?
I have serious concerns about manicurist licensing.
Well, I've got to admit I've got the same concerns. However, in the interest of time, you know, and I think if there are further problems, they can be worked out perhaps along the road. So if you're ready, Mr. Chairman. I would move Senate Bill 335 out as amended. Committee substitute as amended.
Without objection, the motion carries and the bill is reported. That concludes everything on our list today. And I'll just thanks for joining with us. And just before we close out, is there anything else to be come before the committee? Is there anybody in the public who wishes to be heard on any topic we had before us today? Yeah. Anybody else? Teresa, anything else you want to talk about? You want to wait till Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
We're adjourned.